I know it says Mad Monday, but happy Monday to you anyway. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And like the song say, let's get happy today, y'all. How we going to get happy? Easy. By making you get rid of what you happened to you and you got mad about this weekend. I know some of y'all got mad about some weekend. You're going to act like heaven. You did. And today the show is dedicated to you. So we going to get the happy in. You know what I mean? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Another beautiful day here in the Central Texas area. And I'm telling you, man, I'm feeling good. I am feeling so good. You know what's so funny, though? And I hate to say this. Last week, with beer, and everything. But you know what we forgot to do last week, man? And maybe we can work it into the show today. You know, we forgot to say we are thankful for whatever. You know, because you have to be thankful, not just when the new year come in on a daily basis. You need to be thankful and grateful for things. You know, and I just thought I just ran across my mind. Sometimes we need to take the time to stop and say we're thankful for whatever. You know, thankful for that early, that easy trip in today, you know. Thank you for the work, you know. Thank you for having a job, you know. Thank you for breathing, you know what I mean? Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But anyway, welcome to the show, y'all. Hope been well. About to have it in, and we're going to get into some things. I don't know. Today is Mad Monday, so, you know, I've been talking about a lot of things and thinking about a lot of things. You know, I've been thinking about a lot of things and I don't know. Sometimes you think a lot about a lot of stuff and then you kind of run crazy. You know what I mean? So we'll talk about and, you know, we may touch on the little boy and, you know, the little boy. That was cussing and things like that. We may touch on that just a hot minute. And we may touch on a little bit on the chemical spill out in West Virginia. And whatever else we want to talk about. Heck, it's Monday, right? We got nothing but time. All right. So, thank y'all for that. And I'll get it fixed here in a minute. I think I know what it is. I think it's me looking crazy or something like that. That should be a little bit better. Just a little bit. All right. Anyway, before we go any further, let me bring my beautiful co-host in, Sister Ngoni, and see how her weekend went. So here she is, man, my host, Sister Ngoni.
Hello, are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm good. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the show.
All right, sir. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. So how was the weekend?
Weekend was good, and yours?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Just nice and easy. You know, nothing like a nice and easy weekend. You know what I mean? Just a
absolutely.
Cheese.
Yes, I. Yes, yes, indeed. We got some sun going on down here for the past couple of days, so that always makes things, you know, upbeat. Feel better, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I want to shout out to everybody out there listening and welcome to Mad Monday.
Yes, Mad Monday. Mad Monday. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of callers in here on that one. That's for sure. Oh, man. I understand. I understand. I'm breaking up a little bit, or it's gotten better. Hopefully it's gotten a little bit better.
You know, a little bit.
Okay.
It's intermittent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's intermittent. Okay. Yeah, I think that's when I'm moving around more or less. You know, trying to arrange stuff. But anyway, it's all good. We it's going to work regardless. We still going to have the show. That's why it's two of us, not with just one.
Yeah.
I like the way you said that. Yeah.
I'm trying to get there, Eric.
You're trying to get there?
Me.
Oh,
yeah, I'm trying
it's
to get
okay. All right, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, I know. Patience. I know. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It is all right.
Yeah. Mm, okay. See, that I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about.
I can do this.
You can do this?
I'm going to do this.
All right. See, that's what I'm talking about. Make it work. Make it work. All right, y'all.
Yes,
y'all
want
to be a part of this show today? No problem. There's plenty of ways you can be a part of the show. You can join us in the chat room by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Or you just go to www.blogtalkradio.com, and in the search box, just put Mr. Talk, all one word, and it'll bring you right to the chat room. Also, you can call in to the show. You don't have to say anything. You just call in and listen. All they do is dial 347-838-8622. Also, if you want to just send me a text message or email, I'm sorry, send me an email, and I can read your comment on the air if you like. Just send it to ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And is there anything else I forgot? I think that's all the ways you can do it right now anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
covered it.
I think. Huh?
I just said I think you covered it.
Okay. That's a good thing. Man, I'm telling you. Now, since we've covered all that great stuff, now it's time to get to the good part. Get to the good part. You know it's time for the song of the day, song with the Monday mix anyway. And I've been told that this one is banging. You know, this one going to make you move a little bit. Now, I don't know, but that's what I've been told. And I think my coordinator is doing a great job with the music, so I'm sure somebody going to be moving somewhere. So, without further ado, y'all, are y'all ready for the morning, miss? You get your blood pumping a little bit. I know it's mid-afternoon some places, and, you know, you're kind of dragging because it's Monday. So let's get you pumped up a little bit. All right? Are you ready, Sister Ngoni? You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
I think you should clap your hands for the music coordinator.
Oh, okay. Applause. All right. Applause for the music coordinator. All right. There we go. Standing ovation. Anyway, a song came to my mind when I said that, but I'm leaving that alone. All right. Without further ado, y'all, here is your Monday mix.
Thank you.
it off. Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't know y'all. I was back already. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I was having a good time with that mix right there. Okay, I kind of questioned the middle one, but, you know, hey, I got to leave it up to the coordinator. But the other one, too, man, we were jamming. I was like, yeah, all right. Oh, okay, all right. See, I done got hype. You know, between the startup song and the songs of the day, I be so hyped by the time we get to talking. Sometimes I just have to stop, like now, and catch my breath. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I'm good. I'm calming down. Anyway, so we got the song of the day out of the way. And you know what? That was great. I liked it. That I really did. I liked it, that song of the day. So now you know what we got left? You know what we got left, Sister Ngoni?
Yes, I do.
What we got left, Sister Ngoni?
We have the quote of the day.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. The quote of the day. And I know you got a good one because you told me what it was earlier. Oh, but anyway, it's still good because I know you always got a good one. But you know what? We are good and we're going to have some fun today. And even though it's Mad Monday, we're going to have some fun being mad, dang it. I don't know. I feel like kind of
clowning. You mean mad as in
bit.
Crazy or what?
I need mad, crazy, just plain mad, however you want, whichever you want to be. It's Mad Monday.
Well,
it's Monday.
I'm just checking.
Just checking? Oh, okay.
I'm just
kidding. Well, all righty then. But, okay. All right. Well, let me give you your drum. Rewind. Let me give you your drum roll. And here it is, y'all. The quote of the day. Take it away.
You only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough. That's by Joe E. Lewis.
That's right. Joe E. Lewis. Now, I said, I like that. You only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough. Wow. Joe E. Lewis. That wasn't the boxer. That's the boxer, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's the boxer. So, you know, hey, that you know what, though? That is such a true statement, though. You know.
I'm not sure.
No. Huh?
You know, we've been told that we might have to come back here again a couple of times.
Well, I was about to clarify that a little bit. But go ahead.
No, that's all. You go ahead.
Oh, now, of course, what I was going to say, you know, actually, in this physical thing we in, yes, we only get to live once. You know, and you know, we do. You know, once it's, you know, it's time to expire, it's gone. You know, the body expires. But spiritually.
No, what I'm saying is, the body expires, but the remains, I mean, the vehicle, the body suit expires. But some say that we come back again, that it's not just
talking,
once.
Okay, you're talking reincarnation.
Well, no, they say reincarnation is for ascended masters. The rest of us just have to come back and get it right. We don't have a choice. You flunk,
well,
you got to come back and do it again.
It's a whole lot of people that came back then. You talking about the masters. Okay. Where those masters at? They need to be out teaching us what we can do so we can be a master in their sin anyway.
Well, according to some, they are. They can choose to come. You know, and there's only supposed to be very few of them on the planet. That's the only reason why we haven't blown ourselves up yet, they say.
Oh, really? That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. All right, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm not buying it, but okay. I would tell the truth. I'm not buying it, but okay. If that's what they want to say, let them say it. It's all green and gravy. Because my theory is, once the body gone, it's gone. You only way you come back is in a spiritual form, and then some will go some places else, and some stay here and hang out, and some go other places. That's all I'm going to
say. Well, what about you don't get another body? How do you know you don't get another body?
How I know I don't get it? Because I ain't seen my mama come back up in here yet walking.
But not
but
in the same body.
Well,
not in
the same body.
Pardon me?
That would be crazy if it was the same body. You know, we have a bunch of zombies walking around here then.
But then I don't understand how you're saying then that you don't accept that it's possible that we do come back in the spiritual form and take on another body. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know either.
What I'm saying is, it's simple. I would think if somebody came back in another body, and now the question is, okay, if we're going to say this, all right, I guess the question that has to be asked would be, do they come back with a whole new mind and memory and all that? Or if they have the same memory, do they seek out the ones that they left behind before they left? See,
well, from
now
what
you get
I understand, what little bit I understand, which is not much, the veil is pulled down again. When you come back in, you don't come back in. Some people, they say they can remember their past lives, so forth and so on, but I don't think that's something you come back in with, is it? You come in as an infant. And according to, you know, those who speak about these matters, you come back in with the veil down. And then as you journey through your life, your purpose is to lift the veil and to wake up. To become enlightened, to awaken yourself to the fact that you are a spirit having an experience in a physical realm.
But where's the fun at in that? Really? There's no fun in
that.
It's
a lot of fun. It's a whole bunch of times.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm not even going there. I'm through with it. I'm through with it now.
Okay.
Anyway. All right. See, that's why we co-host. That's why we host the show together. Because, see, between the two of us, people might probably think we are mad. But it's all good. It's all good. All right, let's see. Well, y'all, we done had the quote of the day. We done had the songs of the day. It's time to get on with whatever we're going to talk about today. And I see we have one brave soldier with their hands up already. So you know what? Let's bring them on the air and see what we got brewing on Mad Monday. Are you ready? You ready, Sister Ngoni?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, let's bring them on. All right, we have area code 313. Where you be? What's going on? Welcome to the show.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Hey there. Greetings.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. I like the quote for today.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a good quote, something for us to ponder on.
Mm-hmm.
Is one lifetime enough?
That's something to make you go, yeah.
He is. She's always deep like this, Mr. Talk.
Oh, really?
Yes. <Stop it>. Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, it just got me to thinking about, I think all of us are working on our soul elevation or spiritual elevation or our inner selves, working on our inner selves. That's what it is. And I thought about it yesterday, and I felt like I had realized myself. And I think that's something that I have been working towards a very long time. You know, just studying all these different areas of study and sciences and history and religion and all. So I know that my journey has been self-actualization, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I do not complete this journey, that I will definitely be back here on this planet, which I hope I am not. I don't want to be dense. I want to be high vibration, high frequency. I want to be spirit. It seems like that's the ultimate, you know. I would love to see my mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters and uncles and grandparents and, you know, just to be able to vibe with them, those that I really loved who made such an impression on my life. To meet up with them again, I can't wait. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I really want to get this right now.
You know what?
So I can move forward.
You know what?
I
agree with you.
I know that my niece just had a little baby, and I cannot tell you how much that baby reminds me of my dad. Does things that my dad did. Now, this is a little baby. He's something else. When he sits up and watch cartoons, he got his hands in his diaper, you know, like he's pulling on his penis. My dad used to do that. He would have his hands in his pants watching the news, reading the newspaper, you know. So that kind of tickles me, and I just used to say, oh, okay, there you go, Dad. I see you there, you know. We don't know how we're going to come back. We might come back as a roach, a bird, you know what I mean? I don't know, but I'm just rattling on, I guess. But
ask you a question, sister. My question flew right out of my head. My goodness. Go ahead. It'll come back.
Wow, go ahead.
I guess, you know, when I said, you know, when I mentioned the self-realizing myself,
mm-hmm.
it means that, you know, I know something about myself. You know what I mean? It might be something I did in the past or something I realized I don't need to do anymore and make a decision on it. And act on it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Making that change within myself to have a different result, you know.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a working process, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to ask you about, and that was, Mr. Talk, did you want to speak now?
Well, no, go ahead. I don't think I ever want to come back as a rudge. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, that gets deep. There's some, I think in some Eastern traditions, they believe that you could come back as an animal. I always rejected that. But, I mean, I don't know. But I wanted to ask Sister Ottawa about, because she studies hieroglyphics and she studies Kemetan traditions and the Book of the Dead and all that. And she's an artist. And I wanted to know what you remember about or know about the African tradition. When the baby was born, they used to hold it up to the heavens, and they would wait for a certain time before they would name the baby to see which one of the ancestors came back.
Right. This is true.
You familiar with that?
I've heard stories like that, yes.
I think they showed that as a scene in the Shaka Zulu movie, didn't they?
Yeah, something like that, or what was the other story? Alex.
Roots.
Alex.
No, Alex Haley. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe in Roots they did something to that effect. They had a scene where they missed the child towards the heavens. Well, yeah, and from what I've been learning, the Egyptians were celestial and terrestrial. Their terrestrial lives, their life, was a reflection of the celestial.
As above, so below.
So that ritual of holding the child up and waiting for information, you know, to name your child. Maybe that child might have come into the world and had a certain task to do. Or, you know, just like the brother was saying something earlier about remembering what your past life was. Now, from what I've read, that the child comes in knowing, having a knowing. But then it's the outside influence, prejudices, other people's perceptions on how we're to behave and what we should say and think and all. Those types of things, darkness, you know what I mean, that is put before us, you know. begins, that's when the veil begins to come over our eyes or over our third eye.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, isn't that what Don Miguel Ruiz talks about as the first attention? When you come in and you have a blank slate, and then, you know, ancestral knowledge or, you know, for humanity names everything, tells you what everything is and how everything should be. That's the first attention he talks about. And then as you walk through your journey of your life and find your life purpose, so forth, and then it's your job to create the second attention.
Interesting. Well, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Joe into this conversation. I'm not sure he has some enlightening input that I would add to the conversation. Mr. Joe, what's going on, sir?
Hey, I don't have
Greetings.
Hey, everybody. I don't have any enlightening conversations about reincarnation.
Oh, okay. Do you believe in reincarnation or coming back in another body or another form?
Well, I haven't seen any evidence of it, so I'd have to say no. I can't say that it doesn't happen, because if you take a look at the heavens, there's a lot of stuff out there that's very wondrous, very mysterious, very powerful. But, since most of us, if we become supposedly reincarnated, we don't know about our past lives anyway, so who's to say?
Yeah, it's an open question for sure.
That's all we're going to say is an open question. You know, but that's an interesting thought, though. You know, and a lot of people look at a kid and say things like, man, that kid got an old soul. You know what I mean? And you, sometimes you say it, but you really don't think about it until, like, you have conversations like we're having now. You look back, you're like, wow. You know,
Do you think, Eric, that babies today that are born seem to be more aware and alert than, say, 50 years ago? Anybody?
Hell
yes.
Hell no.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I say yes, but Joe says no. Please explain why no, Joe.
Fluoride in the water. You have substitute for mother's milk. Too many kids not graduating. Who are pretty much dumbed down than they were from years ago. So
we're talking about infants, Joe. We're talking about infants, a baby that's a month old, 6 weeks old, how they can set up. And we're talking about infants.
Before society gets their nubby hands on them.
Well, I doubt it.
Have you been around babies, Joe, any lately?
No, I haven't been around them a lot. But I don't see where the evidence
They're
is.
They're amazing. They just seem to be so alert and so aware.
Well, babies are babies. You know, I mean, they're curious creatures.
We're comparing how babies used to be very...
But how does anybody know? How does anybody know that a baby born today is going to be any different, any better, any worse than a baby that was born 50 years ago?
Well, I've been here more than 50 years, so I've been seeing babies for a while. That's where I'm getting it from, just my own observation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, hold
and
on.
I had some.
Oh, go ahead.
I had some, too. Some babies.
So they were significantly more alert, the ones that are born now. Significantly more intelligent than the ones from years ago.
I'm just saying that my observation is that babies seem to be more alert and more like they sit up earlier. They just seem to be, you know, more,
motor skills development. You're talking about the motor skills, you know, paying attention to things around them, listening to voices. You can tell, you know, how a child, where their attention is going in the child, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, let me bring Wesley and I think this is Antoinette on the line. And
hey,
see what they have to say.
Hello.
Greetings.
Hello, everyone.
Hey. Greetings. To that question, what y'all talking about, how children coming in more aware? I think every species evolved, man. Every generation evolved. And so I was reading somewhere where the children that's born today, they don't need no sleep, man. They're the new star child. But I got a question, y'all. Do y'all believe in angels, and have any of y'all ever seen an angel?
I can't say as I have seen an angel.
Now, I believe in angels, but I can't say I have seen one. You know.
No, I haven't seen an angel, but I know they exist. If they're not walking around like you and I don't think.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes you encounter people in your life that you feel like are angels. They come into your life for a purpose.
Well, I've met
you
people
know?
That have
so,
just been superb, and I thought of them as angels, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were real people. Okay.
Well, I guess so what we need to do is have Wesley clarify as to what he means as angel.
Is he talking about an etheric being, or are you talking about a real, a person walking around in the flesh?
Well, my situation is I was in South Florida going to work like 5 o'clock in the morning, and my car overheated on I-95. And I didn't have no water, antifreeze, or nothing. So I popped the hood, and out of nowhere, this guy came out. I didn't see him show up. He came out of nowhere and said, you need some water. So he gave me a jug of water. I pulled in my radiator and turned around and thanked him. I did not see him leave or even come up to me. So in my estimation, that had to be an angel because he didn't have no vehicle, nothing. He just came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
I know that there are strange things that happen to people so that, we can't always explain from a physical or from a five-sense reality perception. So I don't doubt your story, is what I'm saying.
Interesting. Antoinette, what is your take on that?
I don't know. I think that I have, but... I mean, I can't say if it was a coincidence or if I actually encountered an angel. But I was calling to speak on about the babies that are born now as opposed to 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mother telling me when I had my oldest son that babies were different than my oldest son is 33, I think, something like that. His eyes was open, and my mother said, with her children and, the children of my generation, that we were born with our eyes closed, and it took several days before we opened our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when my daughter was born, my daughter grabbed my mother's finger and held it real tight, as soon as she was born.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they are different, and even with my granddaughter who looks just like my mother, but when she was born, she would constantly look at my mother's picture and then look at her picture, and she would do that little smile, how you catch babies smiling.
Oh, yes.
And she still does that today, and she says things, I know a couple years, and I think Sister Gonya had told you where, all of a sudden she just started staring, and she started talking, and we were talking about babies, and she was telling me how when her daddy was born, but she didn't say her daddy, she just said, when Richard was born, he was such a beautiful baby. And I would just hold him and rock him, and, and I was like, yeah, okay, you're calling your dad by your name now, okay. And then, mm-hmm. She looked at me, and she's never called me by my first name. And, she said, and Antoinette, when you were born, you were the most beautifulest baby. And I just held you, and I sang to you real low. And she did it, her fingers and everything, just like my mom did. And she spoke very softly because my mother had a very soft voice. And, I would sing to you. And I looked at her, and I was like, who are you? And she's like, Antoinette, I'm your mother. I was like, what?
Wow.
And then she went back to, a minute later, and she snapped out of whatever she was in, and she was like, grandmom, and I was like, okay, Kayla.
Wow.
My.
Well, could it have been that the spirit of her ancestors was talking through her to you?
It could have been. I mean, my granddaughter is the exact replica of my mother. Her middle name is even my mother's name. So there's different times that she'll just say things that is just my mother.
They say that children until they're 7 years old are still connected to the spiritual realm.
Yeah, and I believe she is. I mean, there's times where if I don't feel good, you know, she'll come in and she'll rub my hand and I'll snatch my hand away and, you know, and she'll look at me. Why do you always do that to me? Why do you always take your hand away? And I used to always do that to my mother because I wouldn't feel good. My mother would rub my hand, and that would irritate me, and I would snatch my hand away.
And how old is she now?
She's six.
Your granddaughter.
She's six. She's growing up now.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's getting so big.
But you know, Antoinette, when you mentioned an infant baby, you know that little smile that they get.
Yeah.
Now, that's the look of an angel, really.
Yes.
The innocent.
And you catch them. You know, you happen to catch them when they do it. But also, Sister Gonya, I know I told you, there was something that only my mother had done. I've never seen anyone else do it until my granddaughter came, and she was 8 years old, eight days old, forgive me. And my mother used to roll up her tongue when she was fussing at us. She would roll her tongue and hold her hand like she was going to smack us. And Kayla did it when she was 8 days old. And I showed the picture. I happened to have caught it, and I got a picture of it. And I showed it to my brothers, and I was like, who is that? You know, and they looked at us like, man, Ann, that's scary. That's mommy.
Wow.
And she'll do it every once in a while where she'll look at us and she'll give us that look and she'll do that tongue and she'll raise her hand up like she's going to pop somebody and you got to stop her. You know, wait a minute. What do you think you're doing?
Well, to me, she was smart because she was controlling the most difficult, strongest weapon in the world, which is her tongue. And that's the most powerful doggone weapon in the world, and a lot of people have not mastered and know how to hold their tongue. And that's part of the problem what's going on in the planet today. So your mama.
Yeah, well, I tell you, my little granddaughter she's something else.
But you know.
Y'all have to forgive me. I'm cooking supper too. I'm almost done here.
Cooking now. I'm coming over there to eat.
You're more than welcome to, hon.
You know, with those experiences you have, so you do feel that reincarnation is definitely possible, correct?
I know it's just something there with that child. I mean, it's just things that she just knows, and I'm like, how in the world would you know that?
Then
it's something I have to go and I have to ask the relative.
Ask her for the lottery number.
You know what's scary? No, Wes. See, and it's funny you should say that. My mother was a gambler.
Oh.
My granddaughter would sit there and pick out the
lottery. Wow.
And does the scratch-offs and stuff like that, and she'll tell me, come on, Grandma, let's go play the Powerball. I said, look,
goodness.
I am not taking you to play no Powerball.
That's why the spirit had me scared.
Wait a minute. You don't know what kind of blessing you got around you. Don't get
scared. Oh, she is a blessing. Oh, she is. I love her with all my heart. You just don't know.
You talk about your mother, and, you know, could
and
be
she is,
incarnated.
She is so much like my mother, but I do not want her gambling.
You better just tell her to give you some numbers. Tell her to give it to me. Shit, will you split?
There you go, Brother Wesley.
She'll sit and tell her all the time numbers to play and stuff.
What? And you ain't saying them.
Yeah, that's your
blessing. Your mama's giving you instructions, blessing. And you're not being an obedient child.
So is.
Now you sound like my mother coming back and fussing at me. Okay, well, I'm going to have to listen to her when she tells me numbers again. Because she'll tell us.
That's your blessing right there.
Yeah, you know, some shit. You need money? Well, come on, let's go play the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask this question: Have you ever checked her what the number she gave you with the actual numbers?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm scared too.
Well, when you hit, I want to
got to get rid of fear. Can't be fearful.
I don't want that.
Don't go to sleep, sweetheart.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to hang up because she just walked in the door.
Oh, okay.
But I'm still here at the show, but she just walked in.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling
Bye.
In. Wow.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Wow. I'm telling you, man. That really makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, good Lord.
Yes, it does.
Made me wonder like Stevie.
Oh, that's funny. Wonder like Stevie. Okay. But, I mean, you know, and when you put stuff like that in perspective and you think about stories like what Wesley told, you know, regardless of whether you believe or not, you got to have some inkling that there is something out there, you know, that comes along in our biggest time of need that steps in and, you know, gives us a hand just to let us know we're not alone. That's
definitely more than what we can see, touch, smell, and taste.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you another situation that happened. Me and this woman that I was with, we was in the bed sleeping, okay, about 3 o'clock in the morning. We see somebody standing at the foot of our bed with a book, like the Book of Life, like an old ancestor with robes on, and he was looking through a book. I mean,
uh-huh.
I see him playing. He had a beard, a black robe, and looking through a book. And so I asked the woman, I said, you see that? She said, yeah. So I saw we hadn't been drinking or doing nothing, and then we was wondering what happened. And then about 2 days from that, her father had passed. So I don't know. I didn't know if it was for her message or my message, but apparently it was for her message. I mean, the guy was looking through a book, man, right at the foot of our bed. It looked like he had on a black robe, man. I don't know if it was Grim Reaper.
That's interesting, Wesley, because, you know, some scientists and others believe that there's a way that sometimes we can project certain things, you know, whether it's true or, you know, which makes it really not true, but because of maybe what we're thinking of or we believe in, we project things that we claim we see. You think any of that has any justification?
Well, I saw it and she saw it, so I don't know who was projecting that, but I know every time when I go to sleep, I always have me a pen and a pad next to my bed in case something like that happens. I have to write something down when I wake up.
Maybe y'all just happen to be on the same wavelength that night. You know what I mean? Y'all just happen to be in sync. Hey, who knows? What you think about that, Joe? You've been mighty quiet.
I don't think anything about this stuff.
You don't think anything about this? Wait a minute now. As an agnostic, you have to think of something.
Well, like I said, it's possible, but I don't have any evidence that it actually exists, so I'll just wait for further evidence.
But you're hearing firsthand stories. Right now, certain things. So, would you need more physical evidence, as in seeing it yourself?
Well, myself, and there'd have to be, a significant number of other people who have seen definite recreations of what happened in the past to have been passed down into the descendants.
I guess some people are more spiritual than others, I guess. I open up. I say most susceptible for stuff like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Is she
Sorry.
Still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
No, I was just asking if Sister Ottawa was still on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, her line is open.
You stepped away or something. I was going to ask. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, but I was just asking that question because I think I was looking at something. Oh, yeah. I was looking at something on one of these little channels, and they was talking about hunting ghosts. You know, when the ghost hunting, they were saying, you know, certain sounds or certain wavelengths help the average person project or think of things or feel uneasy. and make it, it's like make-believe, really, and they just, whatever they're thinking about, if they believe in it, they're more likely to see it than if they do not believe in it.
Oh, that so, I know. That I know. I remember
you
a couple of years
ago.
Oh, well, yeah, that I know. A couple of years ago, you know, Debbie Daly, she still has a show. Well, I was on another show, and what had happened was Debbie came in, and Debbie was saying that on her cell phone that she could see a ghost. And the ghost was on her cell phone. So what happened was, I was kind of skeptical about it. So I think she put it on Ustream. And so we went over to Ustream. So she's she shows her cell phone with this so-called ghost. So on the show, it was me, there was a girl, there was the host, and there was somebody else. Everybody saw this ghost but me. Everybody saw this freaking outline, this whole ghost on Debbie's cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And people going, I see it, I see it. And I'm saying, see what? The ghost, don't you see it? And I'm saying, I don't see shit. Yeah, it's right there. I go, okay, people, fine, the ghost is there, you know, but, yeah.
Okay. And how many people was that, about three or four?
Yeah, Debbie saw it. Let me see. The host saw it, the girl, and there was another person. So there was at least one, two, three, four people saw this freaking ghost. And I didn't see anything, you know.
You didn't see anything?
Didn't see anything but a blank screen, but everybody saw a ghost.
Wow. Well,
How do you feel, Joe? Always be out of the loop, man. How do you feel being out of the loop all the time?
I feel good about it.
What do you say, Joe? You feel good about it?
I feel good about it.
with this new vibration and the way the planet's speeding up and the new dimension kicking in, we're going to be able to see and see all kind of miraculous things, man, coming up now. Well, y'all know it or not, so y'all be ready for this ride.
Yeah.
Now, Brother West. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
No, when it gets here, it gets here.
Brother Wesley just made me think about something. I wanted to ask him if he knew anything about the image that we saw in Norway, some kind of spiral, interdimensional image. Do you remember a few years back? It was at the time that Obama was being inaugurated, and it was in Norway. Do you recall that, Brother Wesley?
I'm trying to recall it. I don't know that particular situation, but if you
there
say
was some
happened,
kind of a some kind of vortex that was seen. There's videos on YouTube about it.
You got to be careful. You sure there wasn't no hologram? Now these folks are slick.
It could have been. That's why I was asking you if you knew anything about that. It could have been. I'm sure.
I didn't catch up with that one there, but it's possible, man. Everything's possible. Now you just have to be able to distinguish, kind of like what's real and what's man-made manufactured. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
But you say this appeared in Norway?
No, it didn't. Yeah, yes, it appeared over the, in the heavens or over the in the sky in Norway. I'm gonna see if I can find the YouTube video. See if I can find it.
I'm sure you guys know about Bill Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Bill Cooper said.
Oh, the pale horse. Bill Cooper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pale horse. Yeah. And he said that he saw aliens. He swore that aliens existed.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Maxwell said he's seen them too.
Well, Bill Cooper had retracted his statement. He said that upon further investigation or further experience, he realized that his belief in the aliens was all not true.
Well, let me ask y'all another. Do y'all believe in telekinesis, where somehow you can move objects with your mind? Y'all believe that?
Well, I'd like to, but, you know, there's a guy named Randy, I forgot, Randy the Magnificent or something. He's offered, for about the last 20 years, he's offered $1 million reward to anybody who can show that they can use telekinesis to move objects, that they have mental telepathy, that they're clairvoyant, that they can bend spoons, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I heard
that. Nobody's ever won it. Not even Uri Geller.
Hmm. Well, you know, some individuals or some experts say, you know, if you use it for that kind of stuff, you lose that ability. So maybe uh-huh. nobody wants to really step out there and do it that way. You ever thought about that?
Yeah, and I just say, sure. You've got powers, you know, 364 days out of the year, but when it comes time to prove them on one day in order to win $1 million, all of a sudden the powers are gone. Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, I Mr. Talk, man. You don't want to waste your blessing up on something like that. And most times it happens to people that be in like in a crisis or something, where you need an emergency or something, and that's when it's more prevalent. But when you got that emotion and you're under all this stress, and you need the extra boost or something, that adrenaline kick in, and that's when most prevalent.
Hmm. That's a good point. Then I guess the question becomes, is it more adrenaline or is stuff really happening? See, I mean, because when you talk about this stuff, so many ways this thing can go. You know, I don't think there's really, I guess it depends on what your belief systems are and whether you're open-minded or, you know, you kind of sort of, or you just close-minded to the possibility of all this, and lack of a better word, supernatural stuff that's going on.
Well,
that's
my
opinion.
Did you know that, you know, there are a lot of people who believe that they've died and they've gone to the other side of the light and then they've come back from the light to talk about it. Do you know that scientific experiments have shown that if you, I think, something like 20% of the people, when they're inside those, astronaut centrifuges, the Air Force centrifuges,
right.
that 20% of them experience the exact same phenomena. They think that they've blacked out, and then they talk about the white light, that they talk about having gone to the other side, and then they come back, you know. So it could be a chemical in our brain. Who knows?
Interesting. You know what? And here's another thing about that. I've heard different people say, you know, I've gone, but they never can tell you exactly what's on the other side of the light. I never heard anyone go beyond the light. You know what I mean? I've heard them say that, you know, they could see, you know, maybe their father, grandfather, what have you. But they never would say what's beyond the white light.
Right.
So, you know,
I mean, they see their family. They never talk about how, well, I think maybe a couple have talked about how wonderful it is over there. But, you know, they don't give specifics, you know, like heaven is terrific and you feel very euphoric and everything. But then
I heard some people saying it was like when they went over the other side, it was like they was in a forest and where they saw flowers and birds and almost like in the Garden of Eden or something. I heard people say that before.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why are you never hearing anybody say they went to hell and came back?
I was just about to say there is a guy who can do that.
Hey, Eric.
Yes.
Michelle put a note in the chat room. She wants to call in about 10 minutes and touch on this topic.
Okay.
You make an appointment.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to make an announcement, Michelle.
y'all leave Michelle alone. Leave her alone.
I want to call you Friday at 4 o'clock and make my reservation.
You'll be by yourself. Hold on, let me bring Mr. Knowledge up in here and see what he got going on. N2K, what's going on?
Hey, happy Monday to everybody. Interesting topic.
Greetings
to one and all.
All right, break it on down.
I have probably said on this show and numerous shows ad nauseum is that Earth is where spirit and matter come together. And I probably started reading Alice Bailey when I was in my early 20s, who talked a lot about astral projection. Now, Alice Bailey was a disciple. That might do her a disservice. But she was along the lines of
Edward Cayce,
Aleister Crowley, a lot of your major occultists at that time. And when you guys started off the conversation where I was listening about babies, what I find interesting about that, especially in what Antoinette said, is that one of the, and I've had an experience with babies my whole life, one of the first things that I do with babies is I stick my finger in the palm of their hand, and the first thing that they do is grab onto it. I don't know why I do that, but I do, and I'm always fascinated by that. And it reminds me of the movie Avatar, where when they go to the planet Pandora, and the inhabitants of Pandora have the long hair that they use, if you've ever watched this movie, they use it to fuse and connect with all the living organisms. There's a direct correlation there. I mean, I can't really articulate it. However, my whole point is that in terms of, yeah, there's angels, I won't say walking amongst us, but they are definitely present, and everybody feels them. Everybody doesn't actually tune in and connect. And like Leslie was saying, you know, when he got stopped at the side and something happened with the car, and then all of a sudden somebody stops. See, that's how it works. It's not going to be something where it's like they pop up and go, hey, I'm an angel, I'm here to help you. No. It's something that is intrinsic in regards to whether we can connect spiritually or not. Because if you can't connect spiritually, no matter how dogmatic you are religiously, there's always going to be a disconnect, because you're relying solely on either a belief system or faith, which is by definition something that you don't have any evidence of, but you just believe it's there. However, I think that we can all give testament to the fact that we've had experiences that have worked in our favor that we can't explain. There's no rational explanation for it. It's something that just happens. And I'm a firm believer. Reincarnation, I won't really get into that discussion. I don't think I'm coming back to this earth as a human being. However, I don't feel that my work here on earth is done, so I'm definitely going to have to come back in another form, albeit non-flesh. I won't have a coat of skin. And also I wanted to allude to the fact that Helena Blavatsky, in her works, talked about race memory, how things are passed down ancestral-wise to where we're just, it's like DNA. It's coded in you. It doesn't mean that you're in tune with it. It doesn't mean that you subscribe to it or even acknowledge it. However, there are certain aspects of your life that where you will bear this out. And I think she was right on point with that. So that was the only thing that I wanted to add.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, go ahead, Eric.
No, go ahead. I didn't hear you. Go for it.
I actually had an experience night before last, and some people could say, well, it's probably a coincidence. I don't know. But as you all know, my mother and my sister are here visiting, and so naturally I want to spend as much time with them as I can. But yesterday, that evening, night before last, not last night, the night before last, I could not get myself together to move for nothing. I just had to get into bed, and I didn't know anything. I didn't think anything. I just could not get myself together. And I went over to my friend's, Peggy's, the next day, took my mother and sister over there, and she told me a friend of ours that we've been knowing for 20 years passed away that morning.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible, man. Because I know a couple of months ago, I was feeling the same way, and come to find out, a friend that I grew up with, he died of prostate cancer, man. I was feeling all sad and depressed and wonder why. And then another friend called and said, told me my friend passed down that we grew up with, man. In Fort Lauderdale, man, prostate cancer. So it's probably something.
Because we're all connected. We're all connected.
But if we're all connected, okay, so why don't we feel, okay, spiritually, but why don't we feel it when other close members of our family pass on? Why is it just certain people then?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I think sometimes, you know, just we're spiritually connected, but we're not always spiritually awake and listening and paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get caught up in the matrix.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of everyday life, man. I got some sisters, got twins, man, and they showing up, be feeling each other. One live in South Florida, and the other one live in Cleveland, man. And they born like 5 minutes apart, and they real connected, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something that's been said for years and years, that twins are connected like that. Yeah. So.
And what you were describing, Mr. Talk, is it's the perfect dichotomy of living in a material world with spiritual beings, it's the perfect dichotomy. You're not always gonna be able to articulate and fully understand what's happening, and that's where spirit comes in, because it's a feeling, it's intuition, it's not something that's tangible. In terms of, like Sister Ngone was saying, in the realm of the five senses, the spiritual goes beyond that. It can tap into it. It can tap into the five senses. However, it does not exist in that realm. So it has access to it, but that's not the realm that it exists in. And as human beings, we live in the realm of the five senses. However, we are able to tap into the spiritual and at the same time not able to clearly define it and articulate it. That's why you hear all these stories about people, oh yeah, they died and they came back, and like Joe was saying, the white light and all of this. But if you actually ask somebody to call that up and be like, okay, prove it, show it, give us something tangible, something within the five senses that will legitimize it, it'll never happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, they got some tests now where they can measure people's souls, like right before they expire. They can film your soul, the last thing you see. Now, they got technology to do that, man, to see the last thing you see when you leave, man. Say if somebody killed somebody, they can find out who killed the person, because they can tell, see, the last thing your soul see now, man. We got the technology to do that now.
But
well, I'm going to share this with you, Wesley. Go ahead, Mr. Talk.
I was going to ask him the question. You know, even though you're looking, they can see, that don't mean they're looking into your soul, does it?
They can
see that's two separate things. Okay,
they see.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, we can stand side by side and look at the same thing, but that don't mean you see anything that's inside my soul.
Well, I'll just tell you, the technology is this, man, where they can do that.
Interesting.
They can capture the retina, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the soul.
Right. Now, go ahead, Knowledge, with your question.
I just wanted to add that, you know, as technology is advancing, and for all the information that's out there, people have to really be careful because, and this is just my opinion, science and technology together. That's the new religion. In the sense that that's what the average citizen is falling back on, is what scientifically, you know, can be proven, empirical data, and all of that. And that's fine. However, the problem with science, and me being a science person, this is why I'm saying that. I'm a math and science person. That's what I was trained in. The problem with that is that if you're not careful, it will remove you from the spiritual. It will remove you from the ethereal. It will remove you from the corporeal type of existence that we have, which is in the realm of the five senses. A good movie for people to watch in regards to this whole topic that we're talking about is The Incredibles. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It was made for children. However, in The Incredibles, you have Greek mythology, you have Roman mythology, you have what they've been working on from time immemorial, which is zero-point energy, the ability to manipulate gravity. You also have the ability to get out of what's called EMPs, electromagnetic pulses, which is what everything on this earth is based off of. So it's a slippery slope, because once we lose that instinctual part of us and we just rely on hard data, it can deaden you. Because now all of a sudden you're only going to relate to things that happen concretely. If it doesn't happen concretely, then hell, it doesn't exist. However, as a science and math person, things can be manipulated. All you got to do is study Rousseau, Kant, Spinoza, all of the philosophers, the European philosophers, because they were all very religious people, which a lot of people don't know. Immanuel Kant, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Spinoza, we were talking about Machiavelli, Nietzsche, Nietzsche. These were all very, very religious people, not in the sense that they claimed to be Catholic or anything like that, but they all believed in a higher power, and they encompassed that with philosophy, with, as Albert Pike would say, morals and dogma. You got the moral element, you have the ethical element, you have the spiritual element. It's like an ocean.
Wow, that's a whole, man. That's a big old ocean.
Sorry, didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole.
No, you good. You good.
Philosophy is a fascinating subject. You got to study.
Yes, it is.
Sartre.
I know.
Love
but
it.
You have to be,
love it.
You have to be on a special level to understand it, I think, anyway. But, Wesley, I got a text that told me to ask you, were you talking about Minority Report, the one with Tom Cruise, where they were arresting people for future crimes? Something like that. I don't know.
I wasn't talking about that movie, but that movie is and they do have a text. They're doing that in Texas now, man. I saw it somewhere in Texas where if they think you're getting ready to do a crime or somebody report, say that you're getting ready to do something, they immediately arresting people in Texas, man, whether you know it or not.
I think I did something close to that. I don't think it's enacting yet, but
I'd like to read more about that, because that's so extremely dangerous. For Gitmo. There were people who were supposed to have been released from Gitmo years ago before Obama came in, I think. Just before he came in, Bush was supposed to release them. Then either through Obama's first year or second year, he was advised not to release these particular people because of the thought that what they could do. Now, their time was up.
Antoinette sent me that article, man. I think she did. She emailed me that article about that stuff in Texas, man. One of your neighbors say that they thank you for to do something, they automatically come kicking in your door and going to arrest you, man. On the thought of probability. Now, they arrest people on probability.
You still got that article. And you know the technology they use for that? Electromagnetic pulse.
Bingo, you're right. Your thought pattern.
That's the technology. Because everything that you think, you're sitting out electricity. That's energy. That's energy. Everything is operating on an energy level. And that's why I'm saying it's we have to be real careful with that scientific stuff.
And
because
somewhere where they could take your MRI and see if you and whatever you are, have your MRI or read off your mind, they can tell if you're getting ready to do a crime now, man, off of the MRI.
Right,
well, you know,
right.
I was looking at something earlier today and where they're trying to map out the actual different pieces of the mind. I was reading something on that earlier today. I'll look into it more. But let me bring Michael and Mr. Beasley into the conversation so we get some more input. Hello, sirs.
About to get started now.
Yeah.
How y'all doing today?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. That they're arresting people for crimes that they haven't committed yet based on their mind waves or their thoughts or an MRI or a CAT scan, that they're arresting people. Now, they may be studying this. I'm not saying they're not studying this. I'm sure they probably are. But are they arresting people and charging people with crimes based on their thoughts, and they're figuring out their thoughts through some type of new technology that's out there? That's not happening right now. Not that I know of. If I were to scan through the news stories and see something that like that, I would read about it right away because it'd be that groundbreaking. Why are you saying things like this, Wesley, and what's the foundation for this?
Can I ask you a question, Beasley, before you chime in, Wesley?
I asked Wesley a question before you tried to defer it and defend his. And I'm happy to take your question, but I just want to direct that towards him first. I'm happy to take your question.
Okay. Go ahead, Wesley.
I'm just reporting the facts, man, what the technology is out there, brother. Okay?
Where do you have evidence of this? Where can I find out about this?
I got
unless you're getting it by a secret way that they're only
saying. You asked me a question. Now you're going to let me respond? Or you going to make a speech? I told you I just got an email from Antoinette about 2 weeks ago about the stuff they're doing in Texas, man. About somebody was arrested because one of his neighbors said they have grown some weed in their house, man. Okay, they thought that they were growing weed in their house, so they called the police. The police kicked in the door, and they
found it. That's a different thing, Wes. That's a tip. That's an anonymous tip.
I just read somewhere about the MRI, man. Where this guy
is. I read about it, too, but there isn't anybody being arrested on just based on that.
Let me say this. This guy, he was accused of a crime, and so he did not want to take a lot of Texas tests, so he took an MRI. And I guess it's supposed to be more truthful than a lie detector test. And the results of the MRI prove that he did not do the crime, man. I forget where I read that at, but I mean.
Yeah, there are headlines which talk about MRIs, and they talk about, I forget what else, EKGs or something like that. And they're looking into how they can apply this particular technology to trying to read the minds of people so that they can predict what the future crimes might be. But Beasley's right, because I would absolutely find out about that based upon the kind of news stories that I go to, in which somebody would have been arrested already based upon EKGs, MRIs, or CAT scans.
Just because they're working on it doesn't mean it exists and it's in practice.
Well, see, hold up. This is how people will distort the facts.
Can you let N2K ask the question he's going to ask me, Mike, real quick?
Okay, no problem.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify something because we start using these acronyms and we make the assumption that everybody understands them. EKG, electrocardiogram.
Check your heart.
Okay. Notice you have the word electric in there. MRI, magnetic resonance imaging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going right back to what I was saying before when you talk about EMPs, electromagnetic pulses. And the reason why they're using this technology, because if you look back, if you go back, the MRI was initially introduced as a surgical procedure. And mm-hmm. then it expanded because it was better than an X-ray. X-ray only gives you the skeletoid. The MRI gives you ligaments, it gives you tendons, and it pushes the skeletoid to the background. And this was done in sports when they came up with the MRI. So with the technology, as it advances, it serves a further purpose. So my question, and actually you guys answered my question already, the question that I was going to ask is that how deep is your level of understanding of this technology so that when you hear about these things that are being done, you are able to extrapolate the technology into
right.
everyday practice?
My understanding level isn't that deep. I just knew that an electrocardiogram had to do with the heart, an MRI, they do that on and knees for the purpose that you said, and I think a CAT scan, they read your electronic brain waves, what's going on in your brain. And I would believe that they're working on it to try to determine, you know, what a change in any of these things, what they mean. But just like a lie detector test, which also works on impulses and the electricity that's going through your system and how it alters, it's not admissible in court because it's not scientific. They haven't been able. They haven't been able to use it as being
definitively
factual.
That's because lie detectors only work on particular stimuli. It only works on a question that's being asked to you and how you react. So they have to measure your body temperature. In fact, this whole
rate,
encompassing thing,
a bunch of
your
stuff,
heart rate, your breathing, so it doesn't eliminate, see, EKGs, MRIs, that eliminates all that. It ain't got nothing to do with a question you're being asked and
right.
how you're responding to it, how your body temperature changes, how all of a sudden, you know, you start reacting in a different way, how your brain waves are moving back and forth. It doesn't take into account any of those things, and that's why in a court of law it doesn't work, whereas with the MRI, the EKG, that's just, you're just taking the subject just as they are.
Yeah,
but they don't have to do anything.
It's nearly impossible to draw a conclusion as to what exactly these changes mean.
Interesting. Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Let me bring Michelle in. She's been waiting patiently.
I didn't know. You know, I'll have to remember next time to make an appointment.
Whatever.
No. Listen, I had to go out, so I just wanted to let you know that I did want to talk on the topic. So I didn't want the topic to go away. That's all.
Thank you, Michelle. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very good. I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the reincarnation thing we were discussing and the near-death experience. And just at the outset, I just wanted to say that for me, research into those two areas, I think, is actually more important than, say, for example, you know, studying the Bible or studying religions about questions about afterlife and why we're here and things like that. And I think studying the human experience is, you know, where it's at. And there have been people who've actually devoted their lives to studying these things. In relation to reincarnation, there's a guy called Dr. Ian Stevenson who's actually been studying this for the last 40 years of his life. And he's a medical doctor, also a psychiatrist. And basically what he does is he's gathered 3,000 case studies particularly of children who have, and all these individual children have come forward spontaneously with memories, not through regression or hypnosis, so he doesn't use hypnosis, but spontaneously have come through with memories. And what he does is he actually documents all their statements and things, and then what he does is he goes back and researches the person that they claim to be and verifies the facts, so he cross-references with what the child has said. And then he matches things like birthmarks and birth defects and wounds and scars and things like that to, like, verify through medical records. And he does, so his method is very, very sort of scientific and systematic in that he's trying to rule out all possible sort of normal explanations for why kids have these memories. And he's got over 3,000 case studies, and what it says here on this particular article I'm reading about him, many people, including skeptics and scholars, agree that these cases offer the best evidence yet for reincarnation. And if you look up on YouTube, there's some documentaries that people have uploaded about, you know, kids from the age of one, as soon as they can start to talk, you know, they're talking about memories that they've got about parents and where they lived and things like that, that just there's no accounting for it. So I think it's really fascinating and interesting, and it's definitely something worth looking into. And the other one is near-death experience as well, as the same. There's an old guy as well, I think he's American too, and he's done a very similar thing. He comes from a medical background. I think he's also a doctor, physician. And he dropped everything and decided to devote his life to studying near-death experiences because of what he saw as a doctor and the experiences that people were talking to him about. And there's one particular lady who's written a book. Her name is Anita Morjani, and she is Indian, but she was born and raised in Hong Kong. And she had a near-death experience, but her case was really fascinating because she actually came into the hospital and she was in a coma. She went into a coma because she was basically dying of cancer. She was riddled with cancer. She was literally given her last rites. And her experience over a period of, I think it's maybe a week or something like that, were really profound, and she came back and she was healed, essentially. That's what happened in her near-death experience. And the doctors, didn't expect her to wake up, but literally within a week or two, all her tumours started to go away. They conducted 1,000 tests on her, and they couldn't explain what was going on, but she knew that she was okay. When she came back from her experience, she knew she was okay. And the thing about near-death experience is that that argument about it's a chemical in the brain is not—it's not that plausible, because what's happening is people are actually conscious when they're not supposed to be conscious, meaning that they can—they're all describing things where they can actually, for example, in Anita's case, she heard everything that was going on, she saw everything that was going on, not just in her room but outside of her room, down the hall. She knew that her brother was getting on a plane to come and see her. She knew the conversations they were having. She knew who her doctors were, who she'd never met. She knew what their names were, what they looked like. She knew everything that was going on, and she was able to recount all the things that were happening while she was supposedly unconscious and in a coma. And that was intermixed with her experiences on the other side, I mean, for lack of a better term. So I think it's a really important thing to study. And like I said, I think if anything is going to tell us about the afterlife, you know, I'd much more be inclined to listen to these individual stories about people's experiences. And there's a lot of them. It's not just one or two people, and it's becoming more and more common. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's a fascinating topic for me. That's why I was so excited to talk about it.
Yeah, because you spent about 5 minutes straight, and you've never done that. Shit.
Yeah, I just see what I do. Up, man. I just see what I do. Up.
Greetings, Michelle.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't mean to take over, but I just wanted to put that in because there is evidence out there. I just wanted to make that point.
Well, Michelle, I thank you for that. Fascinating what you shared with us. And the first part of what you shared about the doctor with the 3,000 cases reminded me of what Antoinette shared with us about her granddaughter speaking as though she was her mother to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You hear her then when Antoinette shared that?
I heard a little bit. I came in when she was talking about the little girl saying, let's go and get Powerball.
Okay. That she shared with us that her granddaughter would say things and do things, rub her hand and do things like her mother used to do.
Yeah.
And about her, you know, speak in a way that a child wouldn't speak, but that it would be her mother speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm definitely open to the idea of that. Definitely, yeah.
Well, I definitely understand that. I mean, what you guys are saying. There's also a lot of people who have never seen their father and their mother say that you have mannerisms as your father. You may turn your head. You may look a certain way, just like your father. They've never seen their father whatsoever. So I definitely understand that we have that biological connection. I just want to get some comments in real quick about the brain, and I have a question about the spirit you guys were talking about and the soul. Well, I was watching this story, and they were doing a study on psychopaths, and this doctor was doing a study, and as you guys were saying, because everything comes down to a particle and a wave. Everything is electricity. Everything is energy, can conduct it, and things of that. So everything is balanced. But they were doing a study about psychopaths. Everybody was doing a study on psychopaths, and this doctor was measuring the brains, and they were saying psychopaths and their brain have something in common because they're missing a certain part of their brain that normal people do. So what he did, he tested his brain. His brain was just like a psychopath brain. Same, and he was shocked. This is the doctor that's doing the study. So he started looking and started asking his friend. He said, well, yeah, you do have a personality such as Beasley. You know, you're very aggressive sometimes. And things of that nature. But he said the combination, he thought about his how he was raised and his family. So he was saying that if he would have been in a certain type of environment, and I'm looking at this doctor, if you would look at him, he looks like one of those quote-unquote psychopaths. I mean, as far as the way his mannerism was, he's real aggressive, even when he was giving his presentation. So basically what I'm saying is a combination of biological and environment. It's a combination of both.
I think I know the story. I know the guy you're talking about, but my understanding was he'd identified a DNA or a genetic,
right.
Not necessarily a brain. But what he was saying was, he identified that he had that DNA within his own DNA structure. But what he said was, thinking about how he was raised, his whole sort of tenet of his argument is that he was raised with so much love that it sort of neutralized
his natural tendency.
But didn't
he
have
a lot
of... Hold up. Guys, I listened to y'all for 5 minutes. Hold up, I haven't finished. That's the same.
Michelle wasn't finished either. You all cut her off.
Okay, I'm quiet.
No, let Mike.
That's okay, Mike.
Exactly.
Go for it, Mike.
Michelle, I said the same thing. He said it was a part of his environment.
Yeah.
So, okay, hold up. Right, exactly. But having said that, going back to what you said since you cut me off, you said it was biological and DNA. That DNA is going to make the brain. It's going to shape the brain with a protein that may be missing a certain part of the brain. So we're saying the same thing, Michelle.
I was just adding to your story. That's all I was doing.
Oh, okay, right.
I have a question. He's saying a part of the brain is missing, but from my understanding, that psychopaths don't use the same part of the brain, the limbic brain and the frontal lobe. Am I mistaken?
No, they all use the frontal lobe, but you're giving me, I was going to my next subject about the brain. They have also recent studies on the brain, saying, and I agree with you, the frontal lobe is the decision-making. But their measurement, like we all said, like N2K said, everything is electricity. They're finding out 10 milliseconds before you go into your frontal lobe decision-making, something is happening. They can't describe it. So before you go into your frontal lobe,
for where your decision. Remember, decision making is not a choice. Decision making is all mental process. Decision making is not making. When someone says decision making, it's mental process. When you actually take a choice and select something, that's action. But decision making is all mental. But
that's
something
logic.
Is happening before. Right, right, exactly. That's what your logic is when you make a decision. When you take that action, then that's, you know, that's what we all can see. But the decision-making is all a mental process. It's never a choice. A decision-making is not a choice. What people try to say a decision-making is a choice, decision-making is a mental process. But, yeah, they find out that something happens before that. So they're saying is what something that happens right before that frontal lobe or the decision-making process, is that natural? Is it something that's automatic? Because that frontal lobe and decision process, thinking always derives from the past. So this is a fact. Every time you think, you cannot say that you have not thought about something that happened in the past. You can't think without having nothing in the past. That's a fact.
That's thought. That's thought.
Right, exactly. That's where it comes from. Exactly. That's a fact. Right, and that goes what Nagoni said, there's no original thought, which is a fact. She's right. So what we're saying is all comes together. Now, having said that, I want to ask you guys a question. When you describe a spirit and soul, what do you mean?
Ooh. Ooh. Ain't no such thing as a soul. There's no such thing as your mind. There may be a spirit.
I think your mind is your soul.
Can I speak?
There's no such thing as your mind or your soul.
Go ahead, man.
You can't tell me where someone's soul exists on their body.
Well, the way bodies are before you die and after you die, your body is lighter, man. So something had to leave your body.
Spirit is your breath. Because when you take your last breath, your spirit is gone. Because there's nothing left but a shell. Nothing moving and nothing's going nowhere. And that spirit is gone and is not coming back to see nobody.
Heaven and hell.
And
well, like I said, they weighed people before they died and after they died.
Can I finish?
After they died, they light them.
Right by the athletic club.
And when you discuss near death, when people say near death, you haven't heard anybody come out and say they was dead for 2 days and came back and told anybody about it. And when I hear people saying that little kids come back as their grandmothers and their aunts and uncles, you have kids. People see me today, if I go back home, they'll think that I'm my mother. But I'm not. We have same similarities. We do the thing, but she was alive when I was doing that. I have a niece the same way that does just like my grandmother. She folds her hands and walk around when she was a baby before she died. Everybody on this planet got somebody that looked like them somewhere.
Right.
But
there are children, that remember things
Excuse me?
How do you account for someone, a child who remembers things about being somebody else, someone they don't know, not related to them?
Remember someone that is not, I don't know any kids like that. I mean, people want people to come back
so bad.
Oh, no, but
there are children out there like that.
It's like people see ghosts. Say they see ghosts. I never seen a ghost. I heard people talk about ghosts and Ouija boards and all that stuff.
Well, that's because everybody's susceptible to all different doggone information, man. Depends on what you're susceptible for. That's called gift. God gives everybody gifts, man.
Is it like I said, when the breath is gone, there's nothing there.
All
right. That's called gifts. God, the Creator, gave everybody different gifts, man. To see, to do different things.
Well, yes, you have different gifts to see things and different things, but not the dead. The living does, but not the dead. But once your spirit is gone, you don't have no gift to do that.
Well, I don't know about that. I can't say about that.
You're the only one. All you hear is talking to live people. You won't hear no dead people telling us about nothing because they're not here anymore.
Well, dead people come back from the other side, then they
talk
about it.
Some
say
they want to come back as a cow, all kind of stuff, but I don't believe in that. Because I'm
what
not looking for nobody to come back when they're gone.
What is it you don't believe in, Maze? That people, reincarnation, or they come back and visit, you know, just to see how you're doing?
Yes, when they come back and visit, just to see how you're doing.
But you do believe in reincarnation?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
So I think she believes in Barack Obama.
for sure.
And what
well,
does that
got
to do with this conversation?
That's yeah, we're not going to
have a conversation about. That's what I'm saying.
But,
we're
but,
talking
wait.
About what you believe, what I believe, and what I don't believe, and what I see. I saw your left breath. I see because there's a, when people are dying, it's like bones and everything. I mean, you hear all these noises and all of this stuff before they take their last breath. Their body's shutting down.
But see, Michael, Michael asked a very good question, though, and you
that's
know.
Why I say your breath.
Yeah, I know. I know you answered it. What is your soul? You know, that is a very good question. Now, I guess that goes back to what you may believe in, what your beliefs are. You know what I mean? Because I mean, is there one specific definition for what your soul is supposed to be like, or what your soul is supposed to be?
Principle. And that you that motivates you. That you strive.
So what was the question again?
Somebody
right.
talking
now.
Yeah,
what
who's
was
talking?
What's
well, the question was: is there a specific characteristic that your soul is supposed to be, or is it just depends on the individual as to what your soul is? Just, yeah, based on your beliefs, your belief system.
Well, I think your soul can either be good or bad, man. Your spirit, whatever you do, man, in your life, man, whether you're going to be good or bad, whatever decisions you make, whether it's good or bad.
So are you saving your soul while you're alive, or are you saving it when you're dead?
Say that again now.
Are you saving your soul while you're alive, or are you saving it when you're dead?
I'm talking about the life, man, living. The
okay, that's what
walking
I said.
Around the
I'd like
oh,
to tackle
ooh,
that.
That was strong. Hold on for a minute, Knowledge. Yes, who called me? That was you, Sister Ngoni?
So, I got my volume very low.
Oh, okay. All
but
right.
Did I come up? Maybe I was speaking too close into the phone. Sorry.
Yeah, you were loud there for a hot minute. Okay.
We had an EMP attack.
I looked up the definition of soul. It says the
uh-huh.
spiritual, immaterial part of a human being or animal regarded as immortal, the essence or embodiment of a specified quality.
Like I said, there's no such thing as a soul.
Well, okay. What's your definition? What you got, Knowledge?
I just wanted to add that there's certain things that we can define and explain, and then there's other things that are completely out of our realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based solely on the fact that you live in a material universe. You are trapped in what's called gravity, weight, mass, and it's hard to break free from that. I wouldn't begin to try to say what's wrong or right with it. However, with that being said, I would like to add that I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that if I thought life only started when I became cognizant of it, I'm in great error. Because life has shown me that this has been going on for quite some time, way before me, and in the amount of time that I'm here relative to all of the lives that have been in existence is a fraction. That's all it is. However, am I supposed to think that just because I'm here now, this is where it started and this is where it ends? This is just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I can't give any scientific, empirical data. I can't do that. So we're talking about stuff that we can't even prove. But for me to say, okay, it all started now that I'm aware, now that I'm on Earth, and then when I'm gone, it's all over with. No, I know for a fact, if I was to drop dead tomorrow, majority of these people, everybody who's on this earth that got a job, is going to get up and go to work. Every child that's got to go to school is going to go to school. The people who are still waking up are still going to do everything that they need to do in order to keep their present existence alive. I'm not getting into the reincarnation thing. What I'm saying is that in the definition of the soul and the spirit, it goes beyond, like they say in Buddhism. They call it the wheel of birth and death. And the whole goal of Buddhism is to escape the wheel of birth and death because it's cyclical. That's what we live in, a cycle.
Yeah, but Buddhism, just like anybody else in the other religion, too. But I just want to say, I'm just going to bring this. I heard a person talk about the soul and the spirit. And this man is going to tell me, I'm just listening, and maybe you guys have heard it, that the soul surrounds the spirit. The spirit is inside the soul. The soul is like something that covers the spirit. And I'm sitting over there thinking, I'm just quiet listening, and I'm saying you got to define it. Because when we say what soul and what spirit is, what do we actually mean when someone has a different spirit? And I'm going to give you a real quick thing. I was dating someone, and we already had a religious talk. She said she wasn't religious. Now we get tight. She said, okay, I want to go to church. I want to see my husband in heaven. And she said, I want to be in the same spirit. I said, hold up. I thought we were in the same spirit. Every time you would talk, I would take the words out your mouth. You would take the words out my mouth. You would say, you know, I was thinking of you today. I'm saying, I'm thinking we're in the same spirit right now. But you want to go to the next level. Now you want to get tight. Now you want to see your husband go to church. You want to paint me an image that you know what I'm not. We already talked about this. And now you want to talk about you want to see your son happen. I'm just talking about what do you mean, and I asked her like I'm asking you, what do you mean that we're not in the same spirit? You fell in love with a man that wasn't like that. Who did you fall in love with? You fell in love with me. My spirit that I want, but you want me to change them. So that's why I'm asking, what do you say when people are in the same spirit? What does this stuff mean?
And I looked up the definition of spirit to contrast that. Am I speaking too loud again, Eric? Eric?
Good. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're good.
Spirit definition is the non-physical part of a person that is the seat of emotions and character, comma, the soul. Then it has in parentheses, we seek a harmony between body and spirit. But I was trying to contrast the definition of soul and spirit.
Yeah. Right, but see, and if you look up the definition of soul, it's going to be complex. But the only factual information that I, as a human being, can see in that definition is exactly what I said before. When we talk about the spirit and the soul, it comes down to those four emotions. That's all it is. That's what it is. And we all have it. We get angry. We get happy. We get fearful. And we get sad. That's all human beings on this phone, no matter what religion you are, Buddhist, non-religious, atheist, or whatever, we all have that in common.
And it boils down to how you control it.
So when they put that karma soul, you have to say, well, what does karma soul mean? Remember the definition, because the fact was emotion. But when they said soul, you got to look up soul. Soul is crazy. There's no clear picture.
She already gave the definition of soul.
She said soul was immaterial and immortal. Those are the two words that describe soul in her.
And you can't describe picture. Immortal. You can't describe. So how does that look?
Because immortal doesn't exist. Because you're not immortal. Because as N2K was
saying.
So does
soul exist?
After
so
he dies, it's not over, but it's over for him.
But Mr. Beasley, can I ask you a question?
No,
are you considering
not
you?
Not mortal.
Are you considering yourself as your body? In your mind.
Well, I have a brain. I don't know if I have a mind, okay? I don't believe in a soul. When I die, I'm dead, it's over. That's it. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Well, okay, so N2K.
You guys can complicate
N2K.
This if you want
English
to.
You guys know English was not my favorite subject, but math, I was brilliant at math. So let's use his formula. You remember in 2K, we said everything was energy. All scientists, any religious person, because when a religious person does tell you that we do live forever, remember, they tell you we everything does live, but some people are going to live peacefully forever, and some people are going to live in pain forever. But the concept that everyone lives. So we said that everything is energy. We're all energy. N2K will tell you factually that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So what do you mean by that? What do you mean if energy can't be created or destroyed? What do you mean then? If we're all energy, and if energy can't be created or destroyed, N2K will back it up. What does that mean?
That means you
what does that mean?
Over the corner on 17th Hill.
I want to ask N2K that.
Walk. Energy is merely transferred. Walk directly to
so
the corner.
So answer my question, N2K. If we're energy
right.
and energy cannot be created or destroyed, what does that mean?
Right. Now walk. Walk
means we're eternal.
That means that your body is a vehicle. It's like that's why you have a heart.
No, I'm asking
like
you. Listen to me, Michelle. Michelle, you said it.
Don't try to sit up and try to prove
Mike wrong. I'm speaking fact, and I'm asking you a question.
I wasn't trying to prove you wrong.
Okay, but you didn't answer the question though. If we're all energy and energy cannot be created or destroyed, what does that mean?
I just answered it, Mike. I said it means that we're eternal. He answered his own question.
If it cannot be created, if it cannot be destroyed, it has to be eternal.
Okay.
It has no beginning. It has no beginning. It has no end.
So my question is, when you say someone dies, what do you mean by that?
I didn't say anything about anybody dying. I'm sorry. I didn't say that you said it.
I said when people say that, what do they mean then? I'm just asking a question.
The energy go back to the source, man. That means your energy go back to the source. That's their belief system.
I can't see, and
here's a trap that we can't get into. You can never debate somebody on their belief system. It doesn't work. You will never win that discussion. You will never win that debate. What a person believes is what they believe. You can't change it. You can't manipulate it. You can't get them to go in another direction. Just like May said, okay, after we die, it's done. I can't, no matter what I say, I can't prove anything different from what she believes.
But if somebody says that we are something else when we die, that's energy.
The essence of your soul, when you die and your body is fire, your soul, your essence, your spirit go back to the source of the creator. That's the reciprocal thing. That's the energy and mass that the creator breathes your spirit into your body, and then when you die, your spirit, your soul go back to the source. Okay? That's the reciprocal thing about energy.
Okay. That's interesting. Let me bring Ebony in. She's been waiting patiently. So let me bring Ebony in and get her take on this. Hello, Miss Ebony.
Hi, Ebony.
Hi, how are you, Michelle?
Hi, Ebony.
I'm good.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Maze. How you doing? Is that N2? I think I heard.
Hello. Hello, Ebony.
How are you? How are you doing?
Good.
Okay. I just think it's an interesting topic, you guys. Interesting. I don't have anything that will say, you know, that I'm right or you're wrong, anything that anybody wants to believe, really. I do believe, okay, or I do think, because I don't know for certain, until I die, I really won't know. That's the interesting thing. We won't know until we're really there. And when you get there, you can come back and let us know. So
that's right.
I guess we've got to accept that, you know, in some form or other, the truth is when you're gone, right? That's the truth for a lot of people who have gone, okay? That really, that's it. I mean, you know, I guess there can be the belief about the spirit moving on. And I believe in energy. I believe that people carry an energy, and you can feel an energy in someone, and you can know. And if you're tuned into someone's energy, you can actually feel something about what they're feeling, and that might guide you in how you connect with that person. When the energy is gone, okay, and the spirit and the life force has gone out of that person, I don't know that there's anything more to get out of the body, because I think the body is just a vehicle for all of those different feelings and energies and whatever. But and the spirit too. And I think, but when the spirit has gone, and I think if you ever see someone who's close to death, someone who's dying, there is almost a spirit passing from that person. When they take their last breath.
Yep.
So I think his spirit, and it comes out. Where it goes, I don't really know. And
it dies with the electricity. It's gone.
It goes,
and it could be, okay, and it could, just like you're saying, Bees, it could just like be like turning off the electricity. It's
that's
gone.
That's what you said, too, and that's a combination of what N2K said, except he didn't say what happens with it. He just says that we're basically a bunch of electronic impulses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I saw a study where your heartbeat, just your heartbeat alone, emit a field out 15 feet, man. They got a machine called
but
the
machine.
But where does the body go when you this flesh?
Where does the body go?
All the worms are going to eat my. Oh, hold up! If someone's body rots, if you look at a body rots, doesn't something transform out of that out of the physical flesh?
Hold up!
Worms? Yes, they do. Hold up! It is energy. Worms, flies, everything eats off of that carcass or that rotting flesh. So energy is still being transformed. That's a fact. We can measure that.
Okay.
Unless they burn it.
Energy. What's
so,
the energy?
So
the energy
body
is
itself,
to meet
even
the
flesh
transforms.
If someone, no, that's the fact. Listen, even if you cremate somebody, you still have the ashes. The smoke is still, that flesh is someone still transformed in some form. Fossil food, we're using the bones from the dinosaurs. We're using the energy from the, according to them, the fossil fuel from the dinosaurs to survive.
So, Mike, my question is...
The worms have your soul.
The
worms have my fleshly body, and they're living, and that's energy.
Then where's your soul go?
Back to the source, man. No, you go back to my question, what is the soul? Question, what is the soul and spirit? That's my question.
I don't think the soul exists.
My question...
Nobody never went and came back.
Okay.
Question,
why did we use the word then, Beeson?
Mike, I have a
people. I don't know why people use the word. You know.
And don't you want to hit that mute button, sweetie?
I'm trying to get Mike, but you know what? He doesn't stop. But Mike, I wanted to ask you a question. I was like, why do you want it to continue? Because when a life and an energy has been in your body, right, for whatever time it is, when it's over, why do you want it to continue? Because the truth is, if you've done your If you have fulfilled the purpose in the sense of the time, and there is no time, but once you fulfilled that purpose of the life in that form, what do you want from that form? It's got to go back to where it started. It's got to go back to Earth, because there's no other function for it in that form. So I'm not sure why you want to continue. What do you want to continue?
Okay, listen, please let me respond to her, because oh, my goodness, she's not listening. What you said, and then you answered my question, because you said, hold up, there is no time. We can't even measure it. But you're asking me, why would Michael want it to continue? I'm not no God. That's factually what it is. There's two reasons. Either somebody's body's going to be burned, or it's going to, however you destroy it, it's going to rot in some form. That rot is going to produce something else. So from that, it's going to be something. And you're saying, why do I want it to go on? I'm saying it's going on in many different forms.
It's not my rule, that's just the way it is. Right, so I'm letting you know the physical body is going to be, even, listen, you say, notice what she said. She said the body is going to go back to the earth. If it's still to the earth, it's still not gone nowhere. So what did you say? It's still continuing in some form. That's what I'm saying.
What's the form?
Bottom line, because your body gets acid. If someone body's rot, their body naturally produces acid, and worms and everything is going to grow. That's energy. Flies, everything. Carcass down to the bones.
Okay.
That's a fact. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm just saying, Mike, when we get to that stage of degeneration, what is the purpose that we serve at that point? That's the question I wanted to get from you.
To feed the worms and the flies.
Okay.
My point is to you that when the body still transforms, it's still creating energies from those worms. So your body is surviving. It's like nutrition. That's why I'm just saying you fashion can see that something is surviving and energy is still moving off of that carcass, whether the person's moving or not. That's all I wanted to say. And that's why.
Okay. Okay.
And that's form, because energy can't be created nor destroyed.
You want to ask him again, Ebony?
No.
I hope you wrote it down, Ebony.
I kind of moved on from that. Like, no.
And Ebony, I'd just like to add, you can't have degeneration without regeneration. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so
it's cyclical. And one of the reasons why I think that the Earth is able to sustain itself, and I think this is what Mike is talking about, even though, you know, it may be hard to understand it, is that everything feeds off of everything.
Yeah.
That's a natural law. Everything.
Now I believe
the eagle a vegetarian? No, the eagle is a bird of prey.
Yeah.
Even though it's a bird, it's one of the few birds of prey. There aren't very many birds of prey. However, eagles don't feed off the fat of the, they don't feed off of vegetation. They feed off of flesh of other birds or carcasses or however we want to describe it. So this, scientifically, we've already proven this. Energy does not go away. It can dissipate to a point where it can be reduced to a certain level. However, at some point, it's going to regenerate itself and come back up to a balanced level at some point. It's always going to happen. So why would human beings be exempt from this natural law when we're a part of this natural environment?
So... are you saying we come back as worms?
No. No. Ebony, I swear to God.
We become part of the soil, and worms come by the soil. What worms do is worms eat worms go through soil and they fertilize soil.
But I mean, it's funny when you have Ben Crew giving about a 2-minute dissertation about the science of generation, regeneration, and then everybody raises their hand up in the audience. And it's, does that mean, Professor, that we can be
you know what y'all saw?
It's a cycle of life.
Hold on, let me bring Miss Lady in. She's been in and out. Well, let me bring Miss Lady in. Hello, Miss Lady.
Hello. It's an interesting topic. A little science thrown in, a little metaphysical stuff for thrown in. But Michael's actually absolutely right that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can be transmuted or transformed, but you cannot destroy it. And I think Michael was speaking to the interrelatedness of everything. When he says that the corpse, ashes, dust to dust, it becomes food for worms, that everything's interconnected to everything else. You cannot separate it out. I think that's what he was getting at. I may be mistaken. And that's all I wanted to say. So.
He's my spokeswoman. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I noticed that,
lady.
Leslie. How do you feel about that?
I understand
that?
Now.
You were right. You were right. You were right.
I need to cut open some water and get my energy back when I go.
Also, you know what? The spirit is real, and I know that because I've had experiences with people who are dying, and absolutely, there is an energy field. There is a,
yes,
some people call it the spirit, and it can be absolutely felt when it leaves the body. The body now is dead. The person's dead. The spirit is gone. Hopefully,
yeah,
it goes to a great place, you know, and not the bad one.
So...
You actually believe that?
That when we die?
Absolutely know it to be true. I've had experiences.
There you go.
It is true.
So you've seen the tantra field.
No, you believe that after we die, like,
I felt it like if you feel a wind against your skin.
Yeah,
you
feel it.
Like you feel a hunch, like you had a hunch or something, like you have a hunch.
She's saying she felt the force field,
the force field coming against her, like the wind, as the physical wind.
Like a hunch.
A huge, energetic,
right.
No, it's not a hunch. It felt like a very powerful, energetic force leaving the body. And it didn't happen like slowly. It was like, woof. And then, you know, we looked down and said, okay, the person's dead now.
Unmistakable.
No, I was asking you something else. You mentioned, you know, and it's just it's a common belief among, you know, most of the population probably, that after you die, okay, that your spirit, it either ascends up into a heaven that's paradise because you've lived a good quality life, or you descend into some hot place that's miserable.
Oh, yeah, they got the fires burning.
Right. I just have a hard time. I don't believe that, and I've thought about that, and I don't know how anyone says that and will hold so steadfast to that when they genuinely don't know. And I've had friends, when I'll mention that, and I do believe in God, and when I say that I don't believe in that, they get real quiet, and they're like, wow, you don't believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I just don't necessarily believe in this religious dogma you've been taught.
Okay, so there's a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of, you know, fraudsters. There's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of, you know, people have their own agendas. So just because that's true doesn't mean that there isn't like ultimate truth. I would, you know, there was a man, a real estate broker, who wrote a book called 32 Minutes in Hell. Oh my goodness, it was quite interesting. He's been on television and he does not at all. He has no interest in, he wasn't a preacher. He's not a preacher now. There was no financial interest for him, but he's been on testifying.
Other than the sales of the book.
Mm-hmm. He's been to hell and back, huh?
Yeah. His last name is WIESE, and it's even a tenth of what he says is true. And he said, oh, people thought, oh, he had a nightmare. He said, absolutely not. When I came back to Earth, he said, I was screaming and screaming and screaming, and I've had nightmares before. This was real. And then he said his wife had to hold him for, like, in his bed, and she was like, oh, what? And so he's written this down, and he believes he was taken there so that he could come and tell his story. So, you know what? People may believe it, they may not, but it's quite interesting. His name is Tim Wise, W-I-E-S-T.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I just make a comment?
You said Tim Wise.
Sorry. Can I make a comment?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I just wanted to say, just going back to this researcher on near-death experiences, a couple of things that he raises. One of them is what the common things that people talk about, and I'm not talking about the white light, but they talk about the fact that whatever the energy is that they go to, it's non-judgmental and it's accepting. And what actually happens is that you... and everyone talks about this, is that you review your own life. You become your own judge. You're not judged by any external energy or any external force, you are your own judge. And nobody has talked about, really, in the reading that I've done, no one's talked about going to hell or anything like that. And I find that interesting, because if, you know, if people are religious and they have this experience, you would think that somebody would turn their experience into an experience of hell, and nobody has done that. And the other thing he talked about, he did.
Tim Wise, he said he went there.
But he didn't have a near-death experience, though.
Who was that to say Tim Wise stopped breathing for the time that he was in this coma he was
in? He said he felt like he couldn't understand why, because he was a real estate broker. They went to church. He wasn't overly religious. It wasn't like he was a minister. You know, nice guy.
Can I tell you a story of someone that had a near-death experience?
Okay, hold on. Go ahead and finish, Michelle. Everybody just jumped all over.
Thank you. And the other thing was, he talked about the fact that the reason why this is now becoming something that he can study is because previously it was common practice when a person was dying, particularly in hospital I'm talking about, the doctors and nurses would usher out the family, and then the doctors and nurses would stay with the dying person. And what was happening was he was off the record talking to people in his circle, and they were having all these experiences with people dying, including things like seeing light come in the room, seeing something leave the body, feeling that energy that the other caller was talking about. And once they stopped that practice and allowed the families to come in, what he found was he's now, through his research, there's experiences of people who are now expressing the same experiences. They're talking about that they actually see physical manifestation of something leaving the body, light coming into the room. But they're also having experiences where they're going with that person to meet that light. You know, they're actually experiencing the review of the person's life, all of that with them as well. So, you know, they can be doing it together. There's been plenty of documented experiences of that as well. So,
Michelle,
you know,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When was that book written?
What's that?
When was this book written, the book you're talking about?
No, it's not a book. It's a guy who's devoted his life. He's a medical doctor. He's devoted his life to researching. So he's collected all of this and investigated all of these case studies.
How long has he been doing that? How long?
He's an old guy, so I think it'd be about 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I just remember when I had an aunt that died, and before she died, and this was a good maybe 40 years ago, and I don't know that she was open to any of his particular teachings, but what I remember, or his research, what I remember was when she was dying of cancer. The last few days, when she was very close to death, but I remember her, when I was in the hospital with her, I was really young, but I remember her talking about seeing a light. She kept asking to be taken to the window to be closer to the light. And when she started saying that, everybody started saying, right, that's it, it's time for her to go. We couldn't see the light in the room. I don't think anybody could see anything different. But she clearly was having an experience where she felt there was a light that was really strong, and she wanted to be closer to that light, whatever it was.
That's pretty common. Where people talk about the light.
Yeah.
And you know, Tim Wise, actually, Jesus brought him out of hell. He said, and it was light. It was light. He brought him out after he said 32 minutes. And now he describes it. I mean, the description is unbelievable.
Was he in the hospital at this time when this was happening to him?
No, he was in bed with his wife. At 2 o'clock
he
in the morning.
Well, his wife was dead, and then he came back. I'm saying, if you watch somebody take their last breath, there is no coming back, regardless of what you say.
Right.
Their feet going
to
get
cut. Right. You know what? You have to read the book.
No, I'm talking about facts that I saw with my own eyes, not no book.
Exactly.
I watched my own mother take her last breath. I was sitting right there,
right.
And all of a sudden this noise come, and all of these different things happen, and her breath went away, and that was it.
That's one experience versus this guy.
I was told what to look for before it happened, and the same thing this person happened, it happened, and I was sitting right there, me and my two brothers. And so I don't need Tim Wise to say he died and came back because he's not telling us nothing because nobody pronounced him dead for 2 days, and then he came back and told us.
You know, there's certain things that cannot be explained because it just mm-hmm, can't explain it doesn't mean it's not true. And you know what? Only a person who doesn't want to hear any other opinions is kind of really limiting yourself.
No. I'm not limiting. I'm saying limiting the thing about what Tim Wise is saying.
I have a near-death experience story I want to share.
Okay, hold on. Somebody asked about Angel. She said one night she was traveling in her car on a dark road, and she had a tire blow out, and her car was kind of almost like on its side, like not in a good space. It was not level. And she did not know what she was going to do. And she prayed. And do you know, a gentleman in a truck came over, stopped, fixed her up, changed her tire. And she said, oh, thank you so much. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, don't worry. I was sent here and said, you take care, and left. That was an angel.
Okay, wow. Can I just make 3 points? You know what? It's not going to take. Just give me 60 seconds, guys. You know, I remember I was listening to Mr. Talk Show, and I remember God came on the show, and he said, you know.
Spirit? Sorry, go on.
No, well, it's not going to be long. And he said that he got a divorce because his wife was in an accident, and so happened the ambulance was just coming by. And then she, you know, they made a life. She wanted to go to church. They had a beef, and they got a divorce over that. And he was saying, well, hold up. Instead of saying God, why not you saying that the ambulance people saved you? But I want to get, and what Mace is saying is near-death experience is not death. It's two different things. So I understand what Mace is saying, but I have a near-death experience or story. You know, someone had a near-death experience or story, and they said, you know, they met, you know, God, and God said, you know, I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to go to heaven or hell? He said, well, I come from earth. I don't know what heaven or hell was like. He said, well, I'm going to show you what hell was like. So he gets on the elevator, and he goes down to hell. And, you know, the demons greet him, and he see everyone's partying and smoking and everyone having a good time, having a nice sex, having all the sex that they want, and all the drinks, all the entertainment, everyone have a good time. So he takes the elevator back up, and he says, no, God, I want to go back to hell. He said, okay, I'm going to send you to hell. Boom. Takes the elevator back down. As soon as the elevator opened, all the demons started grabbing and roughing them up. He said, come on, what are y'all doing? They said, the first time you came, you were a tourist.
That's a good one, Michael. But I did want to say, right, I absolutely believe in spirit and that the body is partly spirit and flesh. Because when I was only, I think, about 15 years old, I had an out-of-body experience where I came late at night from going out, not supposed to be being out. Anyway, I came in. And I remember my older sister that I shared a room with saying to me, like, what the hell are you doing out so late? You're lucky you didn't get beats and stuff. And we were joking, okay? And then I went straight off to sleep. And I was laying on my bed, and I fell asleep. I was talking to my sister. And at some point, she stopped talking, and I was talking. But at that point, I just saw my spirit, like, lift out of my body. And, like, you know where you're looking down at yourself? I was looking right down at myself, and I could see myself on the bed, but I couldn't get back into my body. And I remember at the time I was shouting at my sister and going, I was saying to her, can you help me? And she was still talking, but she was not hearing me, right? And this went on, it felt like forever, me struggling to get back into my body, and eventually my spirit came right back into my body, and I woke up, and I was screaming at her. And she said, why are you screaming? You weren't screaming before. You were sleeping. You were fast asleep. And I'd never forgotten the experience. And I told her what happened. And she was like, right, that's your fault for staying out late. But the truth was, it was like an out-of-body. I did, you know, that's the only time in my life it ever happened where I saw my spirit actually rise, and then, you know, eventually it came back. I don't know what it is, but that kind of tells me that, you know, that we are flesh, but we're also spirit, and we are energy as well. You know, I've had experiences where I've met someone and I have felt their energy so strongly that I felt I knew the energy before I even knew the person. And I think there is something about energy and spirit. I don't know how you explain it all, but it's there. It definitely is.
You know what? I truly agree with you on that one, Ebony. I really do, because I believe the same thing. You know, and it just goes back. You know, it just goes back to just as I said earlier in the show. You know, I guess it just all depends on what you believe in. You know, some as too far as how you see it. You know, me, I see it. You know, I kind of take what Michael said: the spirit never stops, or the energy. So that means we are. You know, it is in eternal. What they call it, immortal, or whatever that word is. I don't know why I have trouble saying that today, but, you know, it's just the way it is, you know. And, you know, another thing, you know, I watched my mother on her last days, and I truly believe that, you know, when they said they are, what's the word they use now, transgressing. Going over, going through the cycle of death. I truly believe during that time is where they're actually reviewing the parts of their, reviewing their complete lives, you know, and you know, some of them may call out or say certain things. And you know, a lot of people who really don't understand the process would say, well, she's going crazy, or, you know, something wrong. Can you give them more medication? And I just really believe that it's just part of the whole process of transgressing out into the other dimension or the other side. So,
I don't know if it's transgressing, but it's transforming, isn't it? It's part of our transformation, because I think when you move from one thing to another, you're actually transforming. And I think it's – and people think that when you transform or you take on a new state that, you know, that makes – that, you know, that – because we don't understand it. We don't understand the transition that you're making.
That's transition.
Mm-hmm. Because we don't understand all of that as human beings. We, you know, we suffer all the loss and the pain because you're moving out of this body into something else that we don't understand. And I think because we're not on the journey, only one person can go on that journey on their own. It's not something that you can take anyone really with you. You know, we all come in on our own and we go on our own. Because of that, there is always a real sense of loss for that transition out of the body into something else, whatever it may be. But we know that the life isn't that it was before. So you cannot communicate, even if you go to a psyche, whatever you do, you can never communicate with that person as you did in the life that they were when they were in that body. And that's the loss that we really cry for.
All right. That is so true. That's so true. Yeah. And thank you, Miss Ebony. All right, y'all. It's 4:23 my time, Central Standard Time. So y'all know what that means. We got to get up out of here. I know it's Monday, and it's Mad Monday, man. I'm telling you, what a great show. I'm telling you. Wow. I mean, a lot to think about. A lot to think about. Oh, and Miss Lady said it was Tim Wise. The actual name is Bill, B-I-L-L, Wise, W-I-E-S-E, for those interested in checking out his studies. All right. Oh, well. Sister Ngoni, you there?
Yes, Mr. Talk. Okay.
All right. I'll just make it sure. You got quiet on me for a hot minute. All right. So we're going to go ahead and let y'all get y'all last words in. And let's see. Who had the least things to say today? Sister Ottawa, is she still here?
I don't see her in there.
Okay, she's here.
I'm here.
Okay,
hey,
ma'am.
Good.
Your last words, ma'am?
My last words. I think that I would like to bring out the point that the sister Ebony made about our not being able to communicate in the way that we normally would communicate with our loved ones who have passed on, I would like to say that we have the ability to communicate with our unseen family. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at things around us and use our five senses, our dreams, a number of things will, you know, give you information if we develop that intuitive side of ourselves. 2012 is a spiritual year, and which means that we need to hone those skills. Peace and blessings to the family, and I enjoyed the program.
Thanks, sis.
All right. Thank you, Sister Ottawa. All right. Let's see. Who we going to bring Maze in next? Go ahead, Maze.
Yes, I was going to ask you a question about when people have other people's body parts, like Chaney got this man's heart. Is he communicating to through Chaney through his heart?
Well, some say
kind of
that's
person
a...
he was, or Chaney still got the same heart he had.
Well,
or the same
I know
heart that he had before.
There are some that believe upon somebody else's body part, there's a possibility that you would have some type of recollection of what that person was. Depends on what part it was. You know, I don't know how, I haven't really dug into it, but I remember there was some type of talk about that a little while ago. Any comments on that, Sister Ngoni?
I have his old heart.
The people that left, the only communication we have is the thing that they left with us within our heart to do what we can for what they left behind for us. But to communicate with them, I don't think there's no more. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am, and we appreciate that. All right. And let's see. Let's bring Mr. Beasley in. Mr. Beasley, are you there? You through with your business?
Yeah, even though I don't really believe in the concept of a soul per se,
mm-hmm.
I do, in my dreams, I just put ancestors instead of being specific, ones that I know, I'm relating with them regularly, and it feels pretty real while it's happening, and it's constantly happening, and I don't know if they're part of my subconscious that much where it comes out then, but I also feel that if I were to, because I know them so well, if I were to ask them a question. Okay, and ask what they think about something, I have a tendency to get an answer. I'll leave it at that. But other than that, I really don't believe in a soul.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. And now, you say you don't believe in a soul, but I remember you right here on the show telling us about an experience you had. So that didn't kind of change you any kind of way?
Well, that doesn't really have anything to do with a soul. I mean, that was a supernatural experience.
And
I don't know what it had to do with my soul.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get into that another day. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Mr. Beasley. All right. Let's see. Let's bring Mr. Michael in. Michael, where you at?
Well, another great show, Mr. Talk. I'm not going to be calling it for a while. My schedule's not going to allow me to. But what a great show. I always catch you on the archives. But, you know, when I can, or when you catch me, I might catch you on the rebound before 5 o'clock come in.
Okay.
But anyway, real good points today. But I just want to tackle some points just real quick, Mr. Talk. Well, this is crazy. And just like you said, how some people about Dick Cheney, the soul, that's how some of these Jehovah's Witnesses say no blood transfusion. It's sad when you let your religious beliefs get in front of science and you won't let someone on your religious beliefs survive and get blood from another person so they can live on, because you want to get your religious beliefs. So if you take someone else's blood, their whole soul and all that type of stuff, well, you know, to each his own. But see, today we were talking about something very interesting. And if you notice, when we started talking to about the facts, Mr. Talk, all the facts about how we are, like, none of us, if you think about it, we all going to carry on and always live in some type of form. You know, we're always going to go on. We all agreed upon that. There wasn't no argument or disagreement. Energy can't be created nor destroyed. Now, once we start leaving from those facts and start labeling the source, God, and this how everything was created, and this, it starts chaos and confusion. But when we stayed on the facts and looked how things is and how the body transformed, but we never answered these questions that we keep on using these words, soul and spirit. We argue over what soul and spirit all the time. To me, I'm looking at what Ms. Nagoni, she in that last statement, she can read it again. It said emotions. I know all of us have all emotions, get mad, sad, or whatever. That's what we all have in common. But when we're talking about this spirit and how it's going to transform and move, there's too much theory in it. When you look up the soul, when you terminize the soul, that's too much. So I'm still looking at emotion. I'm still looking at the four emotions when you're talking about these things. That's the only thing I can feel, that I know all of us on this phone that can hear me, we all had those four emotions. I know that's for a fact. So I appreciate the conversation. It was very good dialogue. And I think we had some good topics. And yes, I did learn a lot from you guys today. So thank you, Mr. Talk. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And take it easy, and we see you when we see you. Okay, let's see, who do we have left? Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have Miss Michelle. Miss Michelle, you're up.
Yeah, great show. Really interesting topic, something I'm actually very fascinated by and do a lot of reading about. I just wanted to say, you know, my last words would be, you know, keep your mind open and, you know, do your own reading and research and look at what other people are learning about these things from a sort of non-religious kind of perspective. It's actually, there's a lot of evidence out there, and it's actually very interesting. And the other thing I would say as well is that I believe in the spirit or the higher self or whatever you want to call that. And like Beasley, I actually ask questions and go to sleep, and in my dreams I'll get answers, whether it be playing out scenarios that I can see what the effect will be if I choose one particular thing, or, you know, so, and I get questions all the time. I get my questions answered all the time in all different ways. So there is something there. We are connected to something much bigger than us, and that's it.
All right. Thank you, Miss Michelle. And you have a good one over there in Australia. Yeah. You know, don't get burnt too bad.
Indoors, I'm inside. It's okay.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing. All right, let's see. We bringing up Mr. Knowledge. You up, sir?
Hey, as always, Mr. Talk, Sister Ngonia, you guys always come up with great topics that always provoke thought and introspection. I'm greatly appreciative of that. And the only thing that I would like to add to all the listeners is that there's so much in the world that's a part of our existence that we can't explain. Don't always rely on logic. Don't always rely on scientific proof. Don't always rely on empirical data. And this is coming from a math/science major. It teaches you that, is that it's good to measure things. However, it also teaches you to think beyond the realm of the four dimensions you live in: height, width, depth, and time. And the only way that you can truly connect with the spiritual is to transcend it all. And much love
to the whole Mr. Talk family. I'm out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Knowledge, and enjoyed having you. All right, we're going to go to the last person once again, Miss Ebony. Man, it seems like it's been forever since I talked to Ebony on my show.
It does feel like that, but you know, hey, it's great to be back. And, yeah, hi to Sister Ngone. I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge you earlier when I came on, but, yeah, you're definitely in my heart and there, definitely, in everything that I'm talking about tonight. I just wanted to say, you know what, I think... you know, it's absolutely right to keep an open mind on all these topics because who knows? Who really knows? You know, and I always mind to people is like, you know, the people who have gone over can't come back. And I absolutely hear the sister earlier who said, well, you know, we've got to use the senses to connect. What I know is what is in the present right now for me. So what I know and what I experience is that, you know, in this life, in this body, I can connect my mind, spirit, and my body with anybody on this earth. And that's the connection that I value. I really value that ability to do that in this life. I reserve my judgment on what happens after this life because I don't know where we're going to go and end up. And at the end of the day, whatever my perception may be about that, really the truth is I won't know until I get there. And so in the meantime, what I'm going to do is be the very best person I can be in this body and connect with as many spirits and energies on this earth that, you know, are good ones and that will supply good energy and to the life that I want and the future that I can create. And that's where I'm focused. What's on the other side? Maybe it'll take care of itself when I get there. You know, if I can do what I could do here well, and this is how I see it, maybe the other life will take care of itself, and they always will anyway. So that's my final thought.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. Well, I think that's it. We got everybody now. Wow. That was a lot. That was a lot. Whoa. Well, Sister Ngone, I must give you a round of applause because it all started from... my bad. That wasn't supposed to be no applause. That wasn't supposed to be no laughter. But it all started with your quote of the day, you know? It's amazing. You know? And the quote of the day was, "You only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough." That's by Joe E. Lewis. That's an interesting, very interesting show. And you know, I was sitting here thinking as everybody was giving their last words, I like, man, maybe we should continue this one tomorrow. Title it something like, "What is the Afterlife?" What you think about that, Sister Ngone?
That would be interesting because it's a broad topic. It really is. I was taking notes while everybody was giving such great, you know, insight and contributions. I don't know how much time we have. Do I need to be extremely brief, or can I say a few things?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'll try to go back in the order of the last people that spoke. N2K and I have a running debate or disagreement on the idea or the concept of time. Personally, I don't think there is such a thing as time. I think that's a construct that men made up or a concept. And then there's others that say that the fourth the time exists up into the fourth dimension, but after the fifth dimension that there is no such thing as time. Now, I'm not saying I have any definitive answers by any means. You know, Mr. Beasley, he didn't believe that there was anything such thing as a mind. And my thoughts on the mind is they say it's non-local. We have a brain, but the brain and the mind is two different things. And some people believe that our brain, our body, our thoughts are just tools that the spirit uses as it exists in this dimension. And as far as heaven and hell, my thoughts on that, for whatever they're worth, is that heaven and hell are states of consciousness, not places. So those are just some thoughts that were running through my mind as everybody was giving their great, you know, insights. And thank you for letting me share that. And sorry I blasted you guys there with the speaker. I'm trying to be careful of that.
Oh, it's okay. You,
I got
you're
too
not
excited.
The only one
I was over there googling stuff, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, once again, thank you very much. Wow. I mean, and I really can't express how much, how good it felt to have a show like this. And Michael made a good point. There was no arguing, you know, nobody getting highly upset, but just a nice adult conversation. You know, that was good. You know. Mm-hmm. But, you know. You know, I think I got it now. I think I got a topic for tomorrow. Ha ha! Oh my goodness! Spiritual or witchcraft? That's what we're gonna talk about tomorrow.
Oh my goodness! Okay.
Yeah. Write that down. But me and you'll talk offline later on this evening because I got something for you. Yeah,
okay, I need some guidance with that panel.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think I'm making it harder than it is, but, you know, I have a tendency to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. All right, well, we're going to get on out of here, y'all, and that's it for tomorrow, spiritual or witchcraft. We're going to talk about those two things tomorrow.
Spirituality or spirit? You say spiritual, you mean spirituality?
We're going to keep it spiritual right now. Spiritual.
Okay.
You know, witchcraft. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to keep it right there. And I mean, it probably will bleed over into spirituality, but, you know, because I do believe there's a real thin line between the two of those. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Why not?
Hey,
I never talked about that before on the show, so that'd be something new. All right. Well, y'all, let's see. We gave you the topic. Oh, yeah. Sister Ngoni, let them know how they can reach you if they want to send you
something.
All righty.
My email address is ngonea@yahoo.com. Please put Mr. Talk Show on the subject line if you want me to respond. I'd be happy to. And everybody, thanks for coming and your contributions, and I'll say good night or good evening.
All right. Thank you, co-host. Hey, the one and only. I can ask for a better co-host, that's for sure. All right, y'all. Y'all want to send me an email or anything, just send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com or stop by the show Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson @facebook.com, and leave a comment. If you want to put down a topic for us to talk about, hey, you can drop it right there or send me the email. Or if you have a quarter of the day, you want us to read out loud? Of course, I'm going to pre-approve it. I just can't give it. Don't send it to me the day of, because I'll have to reread it and pre-approve it first. I don't want no craziness. But other than that, man, that's it, man. Thank you, everybody, for coming and participating today. Hey, it was a great Mad Monday, that's for sure. All right, till tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. Y'all have a great man. We're going to send y'all out of here with a little Anita Ward, Weather Girls, and Foxy. Until tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. We out.
Bye-bye.